Hey, hey, welcome back for another episode of the Interview Your Lanes podcast. This is your fearless host, Erica Anderson. Today we are going to talk about human design. It's been a while since I did a podcast on human design, so I feel like I'm overdue, but I also feel like I should take the opportunity to expand more on what human design is and how it can serve you. So, of course, for those of you who are new here, I founded Interview Your Lanes in 2016, and the intent was to create a transformative space for women to embark on a journey to heal, to evolve, and thrive through intentional personal development. At the time, I was going through a separation, for which I ultimately ended up divorced, and in doing my own personal work at that time, realized how just alone I felt, and being a person who at that time was very heavy in ministry, it just felt like I was alone. Okay, that's just the best way I can put it. And as I started to go through my healing process and gain a new level of wisdom on how to execute in this aftermath, you know, rebuilding my life and that whole thing, I started to, you know, get contacted by women. I had written a book at that time, and, you know, women were reaching out to me about my testimony, and, you know, some of them shared that same testimony, but there were others who were just appreciative of the wisdom that I shared in that book. And so in following my journey, I learned about human design, and so now it's something that I feel everyone should know about themselves. I believe it was in 2021 that I booked my session to get my human design reading, and the rest is history. Like, it literally changed my life. Learning different elements of my human design, it confirmed a lot of things that have either like crossed my mind over the years, or things that I've done or experienced, like I just couldn't quite explain it. Human design was able to explain those things. And so it just kind of blew my mind how accurate it was, as far as like compared to my assessment of various things in my life. But learning that I have what is referred to as a sacral authority in human design, it allowed me to understand that I really have to lean into that as I live, because it quite literally guides me no matter how small the task is. And it was also confirmation. I could think of specific situations that I had experienced in life where I felt like a resounding no, like do not do that, but I let my feelings get in the way, or I allowed things to transpire that I otherwise either should have set a boundary or severed ties, or whatever the case may have been. So ultimately, just thinking about how like I ignored gut feelings, and now discovering like it literally would have changed the entire trajectory of my life by not, you know, ignoring those gut feelings. But listen, we are team no regrets here. We know that all things work together. and so we stand on that here. All of those things have worked together and have allowed me to become who I am. And it has allowed me to be where I am today, for which I am grateful. Especially with having the knowledge that I have to allow my spirit to guide me. I have to allow those gut feelings to guide me as I navigate this life. As I have learned other elements of my human design, it has really pushed me to be more diligent in managing my life in ways that align with my energetic blueprint, because that is what human design does. It helps you to understand your energetic blueprint. What energy are you here to exert in this life? Okay. That has resulted in sort of a continuous effort for me to maintain progression as I navigate this life. So we're going to talk about why human design is important, the steps that you can take to learn your own design. And I'm excited about sharing this because, like I said, I believe that everybody should know at least the basics of your human design. So once you listen to this podcast, make sure that you shoot me an email or a DM And I would be happy to do a mini reading for you. So that is where I give you about 5 elements of your human design and then allow you to determine how much more information you'd like to get through a human design reading, or if, you know, you kind of want to blaze a trail and figure it out on your own. But at least you have that knowledge of what your primary elements are as it relates to your human design, and allows you to have that insight. So, human design is a system that combines elements like astrology, the I Ching, the Kabbalah, quantum physics, the chakra system. I feel like there's one more, but those are the primary elements of the human design system. And so what it does is it produces information around your unique blueprint, okay? It helps you to understand your strengths, your weaknesses, life purpose, fears. I talked about myself learning that I have a sacral authority. You learn how, like, the strategy for which you should be navigating this life. So many different elements, but it's really a great tool for self-discovery. So, like, if you find yourself often saying, I don't know what my purpose is, human design is the answer. 100% is the answer. If you find yourself stuck, you're in between jobs and you don't know which direction you should go, human design can help you. If you are struggling with navigating relationships and friendships because, oh, it always seems to be an issue with you, human design, because human design not only helps you, like I said, you know, those strengths and those weaknesses. One of the things that I realized recently is that human design helps you to understand your toxic traits. Reality is we all have them, whether you want to talk about it or not. And so when you allow yourself to understand your toxic traits, it helps you to understand how to better navigate your relationships. Because if you're a person who has an overactive throat chakra and you talk too much, or you, and when I say talk too much, meaning you overtalk people in conversations and it often ends up in arguments as a result, that's a problem. That may be a toxic trait for you. Or if you have a tendency to shut down and be paralyzed and not talk at all, yeah, that can be associated with the throat chakra, but it could also be associated with one of your gates in human design. And there may be a deeper understanding that you need to gain around that. That deeper understanding may lead to you healing from something, you know, some sort of difficulty that you've had in this life that caused that. So again, it serves you to understand your human design because it gives you a level of information that would otherwise take you a lifetime to gain, okay? Human design is important because it provides that framework for understanding yourself and how you interact with other people, but it also helps you to make better decisions, helps you to improve your relationships. And ultimately, it leads you to living a more fulfilling life because now you know how you're supposed to operating and what veins in which you're supposed to be, you know, traveling and those different things. But it also allows you to see how you fit into the collective and helps you to tap into that inner wisdom and intuition. So, you know, the truth is, and I always say this, but it's, oh gosh, it is the truth. If there's ever a truth that I told, is that what we know about ourselves is really just the tip of the iceberg. Human design allows you to learn what's beneath the surface. You know, it gives you that deeper understanding of your character, your personality, those toxic traits. So, and when I talk about those toxic traits, when you're learning your human design, there's, when you get into the gates and you talk about being out of alignment, that being out of alignment often has a direct correlation to and contribution to the exhibition of toxic traits. So when you allow yourself to delve into this and understand those things, it helps you to know how to manage your self-control, if that makes sense. So anywho, I would be remiss to tell you how important human design is without giving you the basics of how it came about. So it was founded in the late 1980s by a man, who was known as Ra Uruhu. And, you know, he had this experience where he received the information for human design as a part of a divine revelation. Okay, so when he published his first book, or I believe it was his first book, it's called The Human Design System. He introduced the concept to the public, but the system has evolved over the years with contributions from other practitioners. Karen Curry Parker, I believe, is her name. I follow her on YouTube, but she provides an incredible just platform that makes human design easier to understand. And so she has definitely played a part in me gaining the level of knowledge that I do about human design. But the system has gained popularity over the years through things like workshops, lectures, and other online resources. Now, Ra has since passed away. I think he passed away back in 2011. But, I mean, his legacy continues through human design. So, you know, I can't say enough about what this has done for me on an individual level. And I'm 100% confident that, I don't think I've had one client that was like, no, this is not for me. It's that good. It really is that good. Okay. So when you get a human design reading done, you need your date, place, and time of birth, okay? Once you plug that information into a website like Jovian Archive or My Human Design, you're going to get a body graph, which is an illustration of the energy centers within the body, as well as variables, which are arrows towards the top of the body graph. And then you get a bunch of numbers on either side of that body graph with energy centers. And so there's the design side and the personality side. The design side was implemented, I believe it was 88 days before you were born, and then the personality side is created on the day that you were born. And so what these things represent are the planetary placements at the time that those elements were created. And this is important because that is how the astrological aspect of human design comes into play. It's the placement of the planets at the time that you were born. Now, I know that, and I do feel it necessary to say this, so if you're not a Christian or you don't, you know, follow any sort of religion, then this isn't for you. But I know a lot of Christians are not open to astrology as a result of certain things in the Old Testament. And I get it. You're entitled to do whatever you deem is best when it comes to your walk of faith. However, what I will say is that as a person who grew up in the church and someone who still honors my Christian roots in the way that I live my life, it has been important to me to expand my mind on the metaphysical, in an effort to have a more well-rounded faith journey. Because for me, and I'm just speaking for me, I don't think it's fair for me as an individual to reject all of God's creation that comes from the sky because of these things that have been put in the Bible. And I know that people have their opinions about the Bible being the living, breathing word of God and all of these different things. But at the end of the day, the conclusion that I make when it comes to astrology in particular is that if God made the heavens and the earth, then it's okay for me to understand astrology. And that's where I'm going to leave that. So if it resonates with you, and you feel inclined to move forward, I encourage you to. And when I say moving forward, meaning if you feel, you know, inclined to understand your human design do what you feel is necessary for your journey. But if it's not something that you want to get into because, like, specifically because of the astrological aspect of it, all I can say is this isn't about worshiping anything. This isn't about worshiping stars or saying that the stars created you or anything like that. It's about acknowledging that the same way God created the heavens and the earth, He created you, and you're here and you're a part of this. And it's a level of knowledge to be gained. And that's all it is. So anywho, with that being said, this body graph, as I mentioned, has what are referred to as energy centers. So that piece is rooted in the Hindu chakra system, which if you have not, if you haven't been under a rock, then in recent years, you have probably seen an increase in information online concerning the chakra system, crystal healing, different things like that. And that's another element of, it's not necessarily, well, crystal healing is not necessarily related to human design. However, it is a modality that I have recommended to clients in an effort to help them to get into alignment or to help them to get balanced. So I mention that because when we talk about the chakra system, there's a lot of information out there about the chakra system, but ultimately it's about the energy centers in the body. And there are, from a human design perspective, 9 different energy centers that are possible to be, activated centers for you. So this is where energy flows from that center. So for myself, I have my sacral center is defined. So when you look at your chart, the energy centers that are defined are colored in. Doesn't matter what color it is, but it's going to be something other than white, okay? When you look at the lines that go between those energy centers, those are called channels. Those channels are the way in which, or the pathway through which, the energy between those centers will travel. So if you have energy flowing from your throat center to your sacral center, which that is a part of what makes a manifesting generator in the human design world, you'll see a colored line from there's a third center from the top. I'm actually looking at a human design chart. It's actually my chart as I'm explaining this to you. But if you see color in a line along any of those channels and it meets on the other side, that is like a channel, okay? If it's not colored in, then that means that energy doesn't flow between those two energy centers. And that doesn't mean that there's anything wrong with you. It just means that there's no energy that flows between those energy centers. And it also doesn't mean that you don't possess characteristics or traits. It just means that sometimes you may rely a little bit more on an outside source. And when I say outside source, it's typically another person. Like maybe the compatibility between you and another person is the result of you having the energy for one thing and they have the energy for the other thing, and you're able to work well together in whatever that specific thing is. So I hope that made sense. I hope I still got you, and I hope it's not confusing you. But as always, you are welcome to send me an email or inbox me on any of the platforms where that is accessible in order to submit questions. Okay. So the other thing I wanted to point out when it comes to the body graph are the numbers within each of the energy centers. Those are called gates, and these represent personality traits, the toxic traits. These represent those different things that make up who you are as an individual, okay? So once you get your human design reading, you know, we delve deeper into what those things mean and how it may be manifested in your life. I love doing readings for people who I actually know, because I'm always able to give them tangible examples of certain things as I'm going through their reading. So for example, I remember I was doing a reading for someone once who I know personally, and they actually have a gate in their human design that speaks to a specific toxic trait that I have seen them exhibit in real life, in real time. And that person, like, we had to take a break. We had to take a break during that reading so that they could process what had come up, because it made them realize that they were navigating relationships wrong as a result of what was revealed. So I'm telling you, whew, it's real. It's real. Okay. So there are 5 different human design types. There are generators, who make up the majority of the population. And generators are typically, they're attractors. They attract people because of that energy, the energy that they exude. So if you are a person who, okay, so I'm gonna give you 2 examples. 2 things that I have personally experienced, because I am a manifesting generator, which is the third type that I'm going to talk about in a second. But what I have found is that when I'm standing in line at the store, sometimes I'll turn around and the person behind me is literally standing directly behind me, meaning if I put my arm up, I would touch them before I could fully extend my arm. So here's my thing. I'm a person who, I'm in love with my personal space, okay? So when people are in my personal space, it's a little problematic for me. And I've learned diplomatic and tactful ways over the years of asking people to take a step back or whatever the case is. But what I have learned is that sometimes people can't help it because of the energy. And the reason why it happens that way is because sometimes people just aren't self-aware. Sometimes situational awareness, like people don't have that understanding that, oh wait, I'm standing too close to this person. Or some people, and I think it's, I'm saying an affection thing. I'm not saying it's okay to be a perv, but what I am saying is that sometimes people are so caught, and I don't think caught up is the right word to use, but some people are just unaware that personal space is a thing, and so they just don't have that realization that they're standing so close to somebody. And these are just observations that I've made over the years, but the point that I'm making is that oftentimes it's the result of that energy being felt and people feeling so drawn that they don't realize how close they are to you physically. Anyway, so I was explaining that because generators are typically the ones who carry that type of energy. Generators are designed to respond to life by waiting for the right opportunities to come to them rather than actually initiating things. So here's the thing about human design. It helps you to decondition, because we all were raised by somebody or some entity. And there were all these things we were taught about how to be, who to be, how to manage things, what to do, you know, how to think about certain things. And what happens is when you rely so heavily on this outside information without taking the opportunity to think for yourself, is this still true for me? Does this still work for me? We continue living a life doing things that don't really align with where we're trying to go, but then we also often end up repeating cycles and dealing with situations that we otherwise wouldn't have dealt with because we continue following what we've been taught and told rather than learning. And so one of the things that I can say, like growing up in the generation that I grew up, is a lot of us were taught that you gotta get out here and get it, the hustle thing, you gotta go, you know, you gotta work until, I remember one of the things that I was told growing up was, when you get a job, you keep that job, and you keep that job for as long as you possibly can. That doesn't work for me. I don't think that I am a person who was intended to work for a company and work for that company for life. Now, it may have been bad advice, but I do believe that the person who said that to me had good intentions. But ultimately, what I have discovered in my journey is that I am a multi-passionate person. So I'm going to have irons in multiple fires. I was designed to do that and to be that way. And so when I manage my life in that way, things always flow. And it's funny because sometimes when people ask me what I do, and so I've gotten a lot better at being able to explain it without having to stop and pause and figure out, okay, should I tell them I'm a human design analyst, or should I tell them that I'm a logistics professional? You know, it depends on the environment that we're in, but ultimately, I learned that I can just say I'm an entrepreneur because, you know, I do life skills over here. I do personal development workshops over here. I do, you know, I'm a professional driver over here. I'm a logistics professional over here sometimes. And so there are all these things that I do, but I don't do all of those things every single day. So I can be that multi-passionate person delving into all of these things that matter to me without overwhelming myself because I carry the energy to do that. And I learned that because I learned my human design. Okay, so moving on to the manifestors, they're known for their ability to initiate action and to make things happen. So the generators are the ones who are kind of the workers of the population. And that's because of that sustainable energy. But then there's the manifestors who are about initiating things, right? So manifestors have just a very powerful and impactful energy, and similar to generators, I mean, the word is manifestor, so you're attracting things, right? There's that impact that you have. Manifestors are also catalysts for change, okay? They're designed to trust your inner guidance and act on your impulses without waiting for permission from other people, okay? It's important for manifestors to inform people around them about plans and actions to avoid resistance or misunderstandings. So, you know, there's that leadership element because you're an initiator of the collective, but it's also important to communicate what those actions are so that those who are affected by it can prepare themselves accordingly, okay? A manifesting generator, which is my human design type. So this is a unique type that combines the qualities of both manifestors and generators. Now, every time I talk about human design, I learn something new or I get a new revelation. And as a manifesting generator and being able to share this information today, after just kind of sharing what I just shared about generators and manifestors, it just kind of hit me thinking over my life since I have been bold. And I'm saying it that way because I wasn't always a bold individual. I didn't become bold until my 30s. And so in becoming a bold person, I am not afraid to initiate things. I am not afraid to make things happen. I am not afraid to work my energy and to do what's necessary until something is done. I like realizing that about myself changed the game, because then I started to attract opportunities and people that really serve how I'm supposed to show up in this life. Okay. So because of that, I have been able to tap into things that I'm able to complete versus, you know, from the manifestor aspect, they initiate, they don't necessarily complete things. Like, it's kind of like the manifestors initiate and then the generators help to complete things. I'm a combination of both. So I have sort of a mandate, according to my design, to initiate things and to finish them. Now, reality is sometimes the things that I initiate aren't intended for me to actually complete them. And I'm always able to recognize what those opportunities are. And what I love about that is there was a time where I felt obligated to complete things that I initiated because that's what I was taught. But what I've learned is that as a trailblazer, there are things that I was intended to initiate so that others can carry the torch. Anyway, because I'm going to start preaching and I didn't come to do that right now. Anyway, so as a manifesting generator, I also mentioned earlier about having a sacral authority. That's what a manifesting generator has, a sacral authority. And so we're encouraged to listen to our gut feelings and follow that inner guidance because it leads to that fulfilling and purposeful life. Okay. So projectors, they make up around 20% of the population. They're known for their ability to guide and direct others. Okay. Projectors are here to understand and guide the energy of other people rather than initiate action like manifestors or provide that continuous energy like a generator. Projectors often also have like deep insights into people and systems, so they're naturally adept at seeing how things can be improved. Okay. But the thing about projectors also is that in order for them to truly thrive, they need to wait for recognition and invitation from others to share their wisdom. And so what that looks like is when you're having a conversation with somebody and they say, well, what do you think? That energy that is cultivated when you are asked, what do you think, is that invitation gives you the floor to share what you need to share, right? And there are many other ways that shows up. And so a part of my plan in the future is to do a podcast for each individual human design type to delve more into what it looks like to walk according to your design. But yeah, projectors are supposed to wait for the right opportunities and invitations. And yeah, there's just a significant impact and fulfillment in your interactions with others as a result of that. Reflectors are highly sensitive, highly sensitive individuals who are greatly influenced by the energies and environment around them. So reflectors don't have any defined energy centers. They're like mirrors, and they reflect back the state of the world and the people that they interact with. Because of their openness and the lack of defined centers in the body graph, you literally like absorb the energies of other people. So it's really, really important that you surround yourself with people who have like positive and supportive influence. Otherwise, I mean, like it, and this makes me think about the people who struggle with depression long term. Now, listen, I am not a psychologist and I'm not a doctor, but in the observations that I have made in this life, a lot of reflectors that I know personally have struggled with things like depression and anxiety as a result of the circle that they're in or the people that they are consistently around. Another thing that I've noticed is like for reflectors who don't get outside the house much and they live in a toxic environment, oh man, it's overwhelming to think about some of the things that I have seen and experienced with reflectors as a result. So it's really important for reflectors to be in the right environment. Reflectors are here to bring a unique perspective to the world and offer insights on like the overall health of a community or environment. So with the fact that they have all open centers like that, whenever they are in a community or an environment, they have that ability to really just tap in and say, you know, this is what I feel, or this is what I see in this community or in this environment, and help to move things forward in that space as a result of that feedback. It's also important for reflectors to take their time with decision making, because their strategy involves waiting literally a full lunar cycle before making major choices. So, and the whole goal with that is to make sure that they have clarity and alignment with their true self, because as they're navigating life, they're always picking up on everybody else's energy. So they really need to take a step back and make sure that the decisions that they're making are from an internal place, not from an external place, if that makes sense. So that's it for the human design types. There's also an element of human design called the inner authority. So I talked about my authority being the sacral, as a result of being a manifesting generator. So where do I start? Inner authority refers to the unique decision-making process that's specific to an individual based on your defined centers and channels, okay? So this concept really just emphasizes listening to your inner guidance instead of relying on external influences or societal conditioning. There's sacral authority, as I mentioned, emotional, splenic, and ego, self-projected, loner. So there are a few different authorities. But at the end of the day, when you understand your unique design, you can tune into your intuition and your instincts more effectively as a result of understanding your strategy. Your inner authority. And this just allows you to make choices that lead to a more authentic and fulfilling path. One thing that I really want to say about inner authority is that it allows you to honor your individuality, because one of the things that has crossed my mind since I've become certified in human design is how, and so the goal with what I'm about to say isn't about inciting an argument or a debate about how the church affects people. This is really just about acknowledging an unfortunate truth that happens in the church and helping people to understand, just from a practical standpoint, that you're an individual and you have the right and the ability to make a decision for yourself. But what I was going to say is this is important because a lot of people who were raised in the church are often taught that they are nothing outside of God, or that they can do nothing apart from God, or that you don't have a right to make a decision for yourself without consulting with your pastor, or that you're required to get guidance before you make a decision, or you're wrong for making a decision without getting guidance, or that if you make a decision that doesn't align with the guidance of your religious dignitaries, that you are living in sin, or that you are unworthy of being a part of the congregation, and many other narratives that are the result of the control and manipulation that takes place in the religious sector. It's just an unfortunate reality that has caused people to leave the church in droves, but something that has also caused a ripple effect in the spiritual lives of people who try to move forward. And so I share that to say that it's important that you embrace your inner authority, because it is literally kind of like that compass that helps you to understand which direction to go. But beyond that, it also helps you to understand the voice in which God speaks to you. And I say it that way because I 100% believe that you can be a believer in God, or that you can be a Christian and also learn and understand your human design. You can learn this information and implement it and execute it in your life in conjunction with having a faith walk. Because there is nothing you're worshiping here when it comes to your human design. It's really just about you learning. You don't have to do any sort of chakra healing or crystal healing in order to know your human design. As a matter of fact, one of the packages that I offer with my human design services is a VIP, like a custom personal development plan that is rooted in whatever your faith walk is. So whatever your faith walk is, if you need elements to help you to parallel things to execute from you, like execute within your faith walk, I've got you. It doesn't matter what your faith walk is. And another thing that I have to say is one of the things that I create with those personal development plans are custom affirmations. Affirmations don't have anything to do with anything except they just are words that come together that help you to reframe your mind, help reframe beliefs. And so sometimes people have limiting beliefs that affect the outcomes in their lives. And so when you learn what your strategy is, or your authority is, or your human design type, like all these different elements of your human design, it helps you to understand what your affirmation should be. When you look at your gates and channels, it helps you to understand what your affirmation should be so that you can get to where you need to be as an individual. So enough for that. Now we are going to talk a little bit about
how to manage executing your human design once you have learned learned different elements of it. So as I mentioned earlier, there are a lot of different elements of human design, but ultimately, once you have learned what your human design is, I recommend meditating or praying. And I believe this is important because you have just gained a new level. I mean, like an entire world of information, right? And so I can't say whether it's overwhelming for anyone. What I will say is that it wasn't overwhelming for me. It was exciting because it made me realize that a lot of what I knew about myself was I'm trying to think of the best way to say it. It's like what I learned about myself through human design helped me to release limiting beliefs that were the results of projections made by others. Whew, that was good. Okay. Sometimes you got to slow it down to get it out, right? Okay, so because of that, I was able to let go of some specific friendships and relationships. I was able to move forward and choose a career path that better served me. I was able to do so many different things as a result of learning my human design. Excuse me. But ultimately, it wasn't overwhelming in spite of the amount of information that I got from my reading, because it was given to me in a way that, well, first of all, so my human design reading was recorded. So it wasn't overwhelming because I had the opportunity to go back and replay it and really just digest the information. So that is one of the things that I provide to you for your human design reading. So the way my process takes place is when you book the service, we will pull your body graph once you submit your date, place, and time of birth to me. And then I will invite you to a WhatsApp conversation. So WhatsApp is a communications app that is owned by Facebook, if you're not aware of it. And I like using WhatsApp specifically because once I do the reading and I record it, it's there. And as long as you have access to your WhatsApp, you have that recording. But you also have the opportunity to download that WhatsApp conversation and store it in, you know, a cloud-based technology. So if you have a Gmail account, you automatically get a certain amount of free cloud-based storage through your Google account. So you're more than welcome to download that. And the goal is to reduce the overwhelm by allowing you the opportunity to play and replay your human design reading. I was talking to my human design coach a few months ago, and she was telling me that I'm the only person, other than maybe one other person, who has played and replayed my human design reading so many times. I think she said the last time she looked at it, I had played it over 30 times. And the reason why I'm intentional about repeating that process is because I get new revelation almost every single time I listen to it. I have also done what is referred to as mirror work by sitting in the mirror and listening to different snippets of my human design reading. And that was important because it helped me to not only uproot some very deep, I'm going to call them limiting beliefs, but yeah, there were some things that I had to work through a couple of years ago. Well, I say a couple of years ago. I got the reading done, I think, was it 2020? Maybe it was 2021. I don't think it was 2022. I think it was 2021. But anyway, the point is that doing that mirror work allowed me to release some things that were really holding me back. And so mirror work is something that I definitely recommend. But beyond that, being able to play back that reading will allow you to capture moments. Maybe you kind of checked out during the conversation, or just for the purpose of getting more insight on your human design. Once you have downloaded that and saved it, you know, of course, you can access it whenever you like so that you can leverage that information to level up in life. But also, I think that the affirmations piece of it is the most important part outside of you having the knowledge, okay? Those affirmations are important because it's a daily reminder. And I say daily reminder because I always recommend to my clients that they write down these affirmations and put them on their mirror in their bathroom. Because you are going to automatically use your bathroom in the morning, probably. And what happens is every time you pass those words, you're reading them and you are seeing them. And over time, it sows that seed within you of knowing. So I just think it's really important to have those words all around you as much as possible. One of the things I'll say is that if you don't resonate with parts of your reading, like let's just say we're going through your reading, you're like, no, that definitely ain't me. That don't sound like me, which it's been rare for me to hear that during a reading. But ultimately, it could mean that your birth time is inaccurate. So you want to, as much as possible, get your birth time from your birth certificate. I know, you know, as a mom of two, I distinctly remember my birth experiences, but I don't always remember what time my children were born. So it's important that your birth time is 100% accurate. Even a few minutes can impact the accuracy of your reading. So just always double check the location and the birth time to confirm that it's accurate. Another reason why you may not resonate with parts of your reading is because of conditioning. I talked about that a little bit earlier. Reality is we are all conditioned in some way, whether it's through our families and the things that we're taught or society. You know, there are a lot of conditionings that happen in society. So often you have an idea of what or who you should be, but then you might act it out and it could be out of alignment with your energetic blueprint according to your human design. So just be mindful of that. Conditioning can definitely affect your reading not resonating with you. And then another thing, overgeneralization. So a lot of the information with human design can be seen as generalized. So it may not be exact. It may not feel like it's specific to you. And so it won't resonate. But sometimes you may take things literally and it could just be an example. So for example, if your environment is something called market, it doesn't mean that you literally sit in a market. It's just the concept of being able to create a similar environment, if that makes sense. Human design is not a scam. I've seen that. I've never heard anybody say that human design is a scam, but I've read comments online where people question it. I think that it's healthy to question things, and I think that it's good that you take a step back and say, hey, let me find out a little bit more about this before I jump into it. I completely get it. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. But I can tell you, and for any of you who have followed me, so I've had Inner Beauty Reigns as a platform since 2017, I believe it was. I believe heavily in integrity. And so I did not build my platform to give information that would ultimately destroy what I have built. So I can say for sure that human design has changed my life. It has given me the opportunity to learn more about myself, understand who I truly am. And it has helped me to walk in a greater level of purpose, because there are a few things greater than helping other people to get more understanding about how to live an effective life. Okay. And that's really what human design is about. It's about helping you to understand how to best operate in this world. And, you know, like I said earlier, it's a roadmap to your life. So it's more than worth it to learn what your human design type is. So anyway, with that being said, if you're interested in getting a mini reading, which is 100% free, please feel free to shoot me an email at info@innerbeautyreigns.com. And you will need to also share your date, place, and time of birth. So you just shoot me a message and say, hey, Erica, I'd like to get a mini reading. This is my name, date, place, and time of birth. And I will be able to get that information to you within 48 hours. Or if you would like to book a reading, and there are a few options on the website. But yes, you can go to the website and book those services, and I would be incredibly honored to assist you. So thank you so much for tuning in. I hope that this information has been helpful. And of course, as always, if you have any questions, please feel free to reach out. Talk to y'all soon.